to Michael.
How are you, sir?
He's sending you some
paper. Keep ash on the floors.
February 10th.
Keep doing it.
For the record, I open up the House Committee on Education for February 10th. Okay, we're going to start out today. We're going to have some public hearings and some work sessions. So I will open a public hearing on House Bill 4119. Representative Parrish will have Richard give a summary of it.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 4119 removes the sunset on provisions that allow students whose legal residence is not within a school district to attend a school in a district as a resident if the student receives written consent. There is a companion measure or a similar measure in the Senate, Senate Bill 1566.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you. Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, Julie Parrish, House District 37, Westland and Tualatin. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss House Bill 4119, which really was a bill that Representative Nierman was kind enough to let me steal one of his priority bills because he cared about this issue, too, and we got a chance to work on it together and draft it. And I am testifying today about open enrollment. And, you know, there are only two of you on the committee who were here when we passed open enrollment in 2011. It was part of it, sort of a big negotiated education package. It was a bill that I had brought forward, and there was some drama around committees closing and starting over. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we passed a pretty wide sweeping education package that included open enrollment. And open enrollment and multiple authorizers for charter schools, which would have allowed a university or a community college to have an alternate chartering authority, both were part of that package. They both had a five-year sunset. And so House Bill 4119 really addressed it both of those sunsets. And I know from being in here for 5 years that sometimes you don't get everything you want in one bill. So there is a dash one amendment, that actually strips out from this bill the multiple authorizers piece, which technically doesn't expire until July 1st of 17, so maybe that bill will come back in 17, and then gets us down to 5 years. Now, parallel, just like what happened in 2011, there's a Senate version, and that bill is up for a work session actually today, and they have their own amendment, and that amendment would actually put three more school years into the system, give us a chance to really come back and look at, like, what is a final on how we let kids move in and out of districts. And for a few seconds, I just want to, you know, share why this is personally important to me. Growing up, I did not live in a stable house. I went to 5 elementary schools, 3 middle schools, did not go to 8th grade, went to 2 high schools in 3 different states collectively. And we know that schools are one of our most stabilizing factors for in a child's life, and particularly a child who is struggling. And if you were there on the floor that day, you might have heard me say when we passed this is that, you know, frankly, had we had something like this where we could have stayed more central in school as we were moving around and transient, maybe the life of some of my siblings would have changed and looked a little bit differently. So it's personally important for me. I know that there are people who are concerned about things like white flight or, you know, the athletes or things like that. But you know what? That's not a lot of the kiddos who've chosen to use this. And you're going to hear some stories today from some kids in my district who are don't live outside of our borders, who are here today from Cambie. You know, they came from the Cambie district, who maybe didn't choose Westland High School for sports or for something else. But they've got their real reasons why this was the best choice for them. And not every school district can offer everything to every child. You know, right now, there's a program that World of Speed is offering. It's an auto program. Kids are getting college credits. They're getting high school credits. And they're trying to make that open up to lots of districts because none of us have a really comprehensive auto program. And so, you know, where we can try to find ways to plug kids in and keep them engaged in school, we know our graduation rate is not where we want it to be. We know that, you know, it takes a lot to keep, especially high school kids. And I've got 3 teenage boys. It takes a lot to keep them connected to school. And so I do want to share an example of, you know, some of the issues that maybe somebody, the discussion from 45 years ago about, you know, the white flight piece. I have 2 schools in my district, elementary schools, that are within a mile or so of each other. One school, very white, wealthy to do school in the Westland district, and then a school just a mile down the road or so had a higher Hispanic population. And so when open enrollment opened the first year, Westland Schools opened up and they had 192 slots. And there were some families, for whatever reason, we could say that they didn't want to be have their kiddos with Hispanic children. We don't know why they left. We never got the data. But they did leave. And the school district, Tiger Tualatin, did an inward-facing look. And they said, okay, if we have parents who maybe didn't want their kids here, how do we make this a positive? And so Tiger Tualatin, the first year, did not open up for open enrollment. But the second year, they did. And they put out a sign in front of Bridge and said, welcome to our school. We are accepting your kiddos from wherever. And oh, by the way, we're offering Spanish immersion. So you can imagine what happened the second year when parents who from West Lynn wanted their kids to get Spanish said, I'm going to go over to the school over in the Tiger 12 School District. And so when I talk about schools being able to offer different things and to have that sort of inward focus about why, what makes their school district unique and then opening up those boundaries, you know, it changes a kid's life. It really does. When they have a place where they can go and be comfortable, and they've got teachers and support systems who care. And this bill, when I brought it, even though other people parallel to me were bringing it 5 years ago, it was because I sat in a school board meeting until 1:30 one night, before I was ever even declared to run for office. I wasn't running for office till the next week, apparently. But I sat in a school board meeting, and a dad sat and waited through all the debate on everything that was going on that night until 1:30 at night. And he got up and talked about why his daughter, who was biracial, being bullied in Westland High School, and that he wanted to move his daughter over to Oregon City. And that school board gaveled down on him and said, you know what? Nope, we're not letting your kid leave. Because ultimately, it was worth money to the school district. And I watched that, and like I said, literally, I was running for office a week later, and it was one of the first bills that I had drafted, was that we were going to let kids have the opportunity to find the school that meets their needs. Now, Washington State does this. They do a full board open enrollment, and they have for 20 years. There is no you have to let people in and out and which day you're going to give notice. Kids just come and go, and they move. And, you know, is that a reason, a piece of the reason why maybe Washington kids have better ed outcomes? I don't know. But I know that if you're in the space where you are most comfortable, you are going to learn best. And so I don't love the amendments that I think is a dash six on the Senate bill. It's not as long as I'd like it to be. It's not as big as I'd like it to be. And I know we're not going to work this bill today, so I do want to just prep you that the other bill is coming over from the other side. But it is, you know, like everything we do in this building, it's a little bit of a compromise. It's people coming together to try to do the right thing for Oregonians. And so when that bill gets here, I'm certainly going to encourage you to support that one. But it does basically look in part like 4119, because you have in Senator Roblin, who was our co-speaker that year, somebody who said, we have to find ways to get to yes for kids in Oregon. And so I know he's committed to it, and Senator Thatcher is committed to it. We were all here in 2011. So with that, I'll just open up to questions. But I think the testimony you're going to hear from some of the kids behind me is probably more important than what I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Representative Rudin.
Oh, thank you for bringing this, Representative. In very close to the area that I live in East Portland, there's a lot of school districts that are very close to each other. We also have a high population that's very mobile, and so it's very possible that a student might be living in one district one week and another adjoining district the next. So would this bill, the way it's written right now, would it help that kid or hurt that kid?
Well, the way it's open enrollment works is in our state right now is that the school district acknowledges that there are a certain amount of slots. And you have to, as a parent, make the decision to take one of those slots if you're a neighboring district. So a child who's sort of highly transient in the middle of the year was never covered by this bill. That's what Washington State does. So when you are in that situation where kiddos are moving in and out and they maybe their parent can't get out of a rental agreement, or mom and dad are upside down in their house and they can't move to get their kid into the right district, I mean, that's one of the reasons 20 years ago Washington made the decision that they were just going to have open borders all day, every day. So this doesn't address the issue that you're working on, but if I can get the full version of this someday, it will. I have a woman who is my niece's parents, the mother. She is your constituent, Rep. Rudin. And she, my brother doesn't pay child support to her, and she's raising these kids largely as a single mom by herself, and she was working in Hillsborough. And she had to lie to the school district to put her children into the Hillsborough schools because one child was in daycare in Southeast Portland, and the other child was in, she wanted to at least have time to help her, you know, do homework in the car. And so So she had to lie. You know, there was a situation in the same year we started this conversation here in Oregon, in another state, where the mom lied about her residency to move her child into a better district, and they jailed that woman. I mean, you just look at, you know, what are we doing for families, and how do we make sure that, you know, I've come to this from a customer service perspective, that ultimately it's about the customer, and the customer is our child, and, you know, you wouldn't accept that you only can get it this way every single time, or we'd all eat McDonald's Happy Meals or whatever, right? Like, we want to have choice and customization in our life, and part of that really needs to start looking at how do we do that in education. So SPIL doesn't cover your kiddos. I wish it did, but I'm committed to working on that issue with you in 17.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to ask you, did you have the number of the Senate bill?
1566. Sorry, Madam Chair. Barreto, 1566.
Because this is clarification, what we will probably do, since this bill now is almost identical to the Senate bill, is one reason I have Representative Parrish here is to give some background information, because the bills are almost identical. So we'll probably hear the Senate bill and deal with that one. But I did want to give you guys, give Rep. Parrish a time to give the background on what the issue is, and the issues are the same.
Thanks. All right.
Okay, any other questions?
Then I will.
Okay, thank you very much.
Come talk. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. So we have Anna Marie, Julian, and Bella. Thank you. Welcome. Okay, whoever wants to start first.
Chair Doherty and members of the House Education Committee, for the record, my name is Anna Maria Hartner, and I'm a senior at Westland High School. I'm here today to speak in favor of House Bill 4119 to maintain Oregon's policy concerning open enrollment between public school districts. Open enrollment was intended as an educational policy to empower parents to make choices on behalf of their children. But there has also been an unintended effect, that it has empowered students to make choices on behalf of themselves. School districts tend to offer varying programs, especially within the realm of academics and extracurriculars. And with open enrollment, we have the opportunity to make choices regarding our specific needs, from a strong theater department to emphasis on athletics to a dedicated music program. Much in the way that we have the opportunity to choose which universities to attend, we should also have the opportunity to choose a secondary education program based on our unique needs, interests, and learning styles. Out of all school policies, we believe that open enrollment has benefited us the most, and we would appreciate your support. Thank you for your valuable time and consideration. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. We'll get the whole panel done, and we'll ask questions. Okay, next.
Chair Doherty and House of Education Committee. For the record, my name is Isabella Fenner, and I'm a junior at Westland High School. I'm here to speak in favor of House Bill 4119 to maintain Oregon's policy concerning open enrollment between public school districts. When I was in eighth grade, I was faced with the difficult decision. In order to further my education at a pace that suited me, I would have to leave the school district that I'd grown up in. This is because Canby School District did not offer the advanced math and science programs that I had wished to take in high school. Unfortunately, this meant I had to start over and make new friends. My parents left the decision completely up to me, and I struggled to pick a perfect school. Even at a young age, I recognized the importance of choosing a school that suited my personal education goals and learning style. I entertained the idea of going to many different schools in this time. In the end, I chose to use open enrollment to transfer from Canby to Westland High School at the beginning of my freshman year. I feel that this decision has benefited my education tremendously because I'm provided the resources and opportunities to pursue my dream of going into the medical field. By allowing open enrollment to sunset, we might deny hundreds, if not thousands, of students the opportunity to pursue an education that lines up with the career path they plan to take. I ask that you pass House Bill 119. Thank you, and I'm happy to respond to any questions.
Okay, thank you. Julian?
Chair Doherty, House of Education Committee members. For the record, my name is Julian Commerdell, and I'm a student at Westland High School. I'm here to voice support as a student for the removal of the open enrollment sunset. Open enrollment has allowed a large number of students to attend schools they would otherwise have not been able to. Many of these students, as a result, have been given an education of greater focus on the student's desired career path than the one they would have had in another school. The open enrollment system has given parents and students an important liberty, the liberty to tailor their education to their needs. Having an open enrollment program allows parents to send their children to schools which will give them the education that best suits their interests and needs. For example, a child living in West Lynn and attending West Lynn High School, a school viewed as a college preparatory school, can instead opt to go to a school with a more technical-focused education, if that's what suits them. The same works in reverse. This ability to choose the curriculum that best suits them allows students to attend schools where they will be engaged and learn. On a personal note, I spent 3 years as an open enrollment student at AC Creek Middle School. Attending AC Creek was much harder because my parents had to drive me to school every day and pick me up. My parents felt so strongly that I should get the best education that I could that they went above and beyond in working with me to attend the school outside my district. Looking back, I can't thank them enough. AC Creek was and still is an incredible school. It offered me opportunities that were more diverse than the district schools, and going there laid the groundwork for my future academic and career service and community service careers. Now, I am no longer an open enrollment student. In fact, I can walk to school. However, the point I want to make is parents who use open enrollment do not just utilize other districts' resources, but sacrifice their own time to take their children to the school that they want. Their commitment to their child's future should give them the liberty to choose the school that will secure a future for their child. The removal of the sunset is one of the biggest decisions that this legislative session will have to make. I hope this committee will take the first step in seeing that it is removed. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for this panel? Okay, you guys did a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, those were the ones that we had signed up. And as I said, the Senate bill will be coming over. Do you remember what the Senate bill number is, sir?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate bill is Senate Bill 1566.
1566, if you want to look it up and see what it is. Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, with not, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 4119 and open up a work session on House Bill 4050. Richard, if you could read that.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4050 creates the Policy Advisory Council on Summer Learning. It sunsets the council on December 31st, 2017. The committee has been asked to consider the Dash 4 amendments, which are posted on OLIS. The Dash 4s make the Legislative Administration Committee responsible for staffing and make some changes to the appointment processes to the structure of the council. The measure contains a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 4050, dated February 5th, 2016.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 4050, dated February 5th, 2016. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to say I wish she was here. She doesn't need to be, though.
Her assistant's here.
Oh, yeah, Representative Smith-Warner, because I had made the comment that I had concerns that there was one member of the House, one member of the Senate. That has been changed. They could certainly still be from the same party, so I would hope the intent of that is one for each party. And I think I can assume that fairly safely. But I appreciate those changes being incorporated into this amendment.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay. If not, the amendments are adopted.
She asked for objection.
Oh, is there any objection?
Yeah. Thought you were a little fast.
Not now. That's one way to pass a bill.
Oh, you guys are on to me now. Okay. Seeing no objections, the amendments are adopted.
I have another thing to say. Sorry about that. Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 4050 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay. Representative Frederick moves House Bill 4050 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Reardon.
You know, once in a while, I'm just really proud and happy to be on this committee. Because I feel like we've done something so brilliantly, and this is one of those bills. And I wish I had thought about it myself to introduce it, because it's just, you know, it's kind of like early childhood education, that it's going to make such a huge difference in kids' lives. and it's going to be a benefit that we will see for years. So thanks for everybody that worked on it.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing none. Mike, would you read the roll, please?
Representative Beretta?
Aye.
Representative Hack?
Yes.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
I think that'd be an aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes, and the bill is sent as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. So with that, I close the work session on House Bill 4024 and open up a work session on House Bill 4050 and open up a work session on House Bill 4024.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4024 directs the State Board of Education to adopt by rule a complaint process for reporting district policies in violation, reporting of district policies in violation of state law prohibiting harassment, intimidation, bullying, or cyberbullying. The committee's been asked to consider the -1 amendments, which direct the board to adopt rules relating to this process to establish, to track the number of incidences that occur, and also to track certain characteristics of the alleged target of the bullying, cyberbullying, discrimination, or harassment, and also to require a school district be permitted to adhere to a policy prior to a review of the allegation by the Department of Ed or by the State Board.
Okay, take a breath.
You can breathe through it. It's really all right for you to breathe.
The bill does a lot. The bill contains a prior a subsequent reference to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the -1 amendments to House Bill 4024, dated February 8th, 2016.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves the adoption of the -1 amendments to House Bill 4024, dated February 8th, 2016. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection? Okay, with that, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 4024 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 4024 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, clerk will read the roll, please.
Representative Hack?
Yes.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Beretta?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Go to the speaker. Tell Springer.
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes. There are a couple of things. I will make sure I will go to the speaker's office to do that.
Fine.
We've got two things. Representative McClain wanted to talk a little bit about the bill that she presented. But before she does that, I'm going to pass around. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a school in North Portland. There was a young man there that is – oh, yeah. I closed the work session – who is extremely autistic to the point that he's nonverbal. And so everything he writes or everything he says is with a storyboard where you point at the letters and they're written down. And this is an essay he wrote as to what it was like to be to have autism. And I asked if I could hand it out and have a couple of copies because it is stunning. And so this is for your weekend reading. Okay. And with that, Representative McClain.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to take a minute to talk to the committee and also wanted to thank a few people. The bill that I've been working on for about 6 or 7 months, which is 4091, which you heard at the last meeting, I have some pretty high goals for that particular study and some of the language changes in that virtual school bill. And I wanted to let you know that I've asked the chair to pull it. And I've asked the chair to pull it for two reasons. Reason number one was that we had a lot of people who came to talk and they didn't get a chance to. I had two panels of my own that didn't get a chance to discuss or testify or have you have a chance to ask some questions, and I feel like that's very important. I also feel that this is such an important item on accountability and transparency as we review our schools that it's got to have something that I hope to get a 9-0 vote out of this committee. And because of that, I will be bringing it back in 2017. I do want to thank folks, and a lot of them aren't here today, but I want to thank them publicly. I appreciate the work that they've done with me. It's the virtual schools themselves, their representatives, parents and teachers from their schools, superintendents or co-hosts that actually have had virtual schools in a contract with them, also public school superintendents that have to deal with students that go back and forth between charter virtual schools and public schools. And I think it's very important to understand that virtual schools are here to stay. And they're going to be in our public schools, they're going to be in our charter schools, and they're going to be as a virtual school that has a profit margin. But because of that, we have just as much responsibility for transparency and accountability on how we review and make sure that the Department of Ed and others can help them from the state level. Because every school in the state of Oregon that has students from the state of Oregon deserves that kind of support. I want to thank the OEA, I want to thank the OSBA, I want to thank COSA, and I want to make sure that you know that this will be thoroughly vetted, and I hope for your addressing of this in 2017.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Representative Fred.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I began to encounter the concept of virtual schools decades ago, as one of the original hackers in the mid-60s, dealing with some of those things. But I will say that I was looking forward to this particular study, because I don't think we have adequately taken a look at the costs and the financial and the transparency that I think we need for virtual schools. So I'm hoping that you do bring it back, and we can put something together that will be effective. The idea of studying does not mean anyone's trying to get rid of virtual schools, but that is unfortunately part of the rhetoric that I heard from folks. And I think it was not only unfortunate, but in fact, I think a distraction. And I think we need to have some good information about how much it's costing us and how effective they are in certain, and there are some very good ones. And there are some that are, frankly, we are spending money poorly, and we need to figure out where that is. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, have lots of comments about charter schools, but I'm not going to make them now because I don't want to miss the opportunity to thank you for your handling of that. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, on that note, I know that this is going to come as a very sad thing for you, but we will not be having committee on Friday.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh,
no. I know.
We'll miss you.
I know. But anyway, so we won't be having committee on Friday. We're hoping all the Senate bills will come over, and we will get to work. Oh, actually, I'm going to make an announcement. On Monday the 15th, with the new changes in No Child Left Behind gone and the ESSA, which is every Student Success Act, will be successful act. One of the key players in that in Washington was Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici from Washington County. And Congresswoman Bonamici will be here on Monday to talk about ESSA, because she was really one of the real movers on that, along with Dr. Knorr and Lindsay Capps from OEIB. So they will be here Monday on the 15th to talk about ESSA. Okay. And with that, I adjourn. Anything else?
What, we're open early, too, on this?
I adjourned.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think you can handle this?
I was holding the baby. I got the drool. I was holding the baby. I got the drool. I was holding the baby.